February 9th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to review from the 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Timothy is doing the work of God, so when you see the instructions for Timothy, consider them also as instructions for all others who do the works for God. Here Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word. This is not a request, but a command. And this is not just for preacher, we all have to speak the word of God. And anyone who speaks the word of God, every word we speak will be judged in the presence of the Lord, Paul says. And Jesus told Pharisees that they would go to Gehenna, or hell, for what they were doing and what they were speaking in the name of God. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Jesus said they were going to hell. It is pretty harsh, but that's why we have to be so careful when we are speaking the word of God. When we speak it rightly, we will see the blessings, but when we handle it wrongly, we will go to hell, said Jesus. So if you preach some ear-pleasing but wrong doctrines to gather people, you would go to hell. That's what that means. The second verse. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. As Paul is telling Timothy, the most important work we do is to preach the word, not to rehearse for the Christmas play or do the fundraising for the church. To preach the word. So as we serve the Lord, one important thing we must do is to learn the word so well that we could speak the word to others. For example, if you sell tofu, you have to know about tofu. So you have to know the word, and all your works and activities need to support that purpose. I used to talk to people randomly on the street to preach the gospel, and people would not know what to do nor understand what I was trying to say. But I think it is more effective when you are prompted by the Holy Spirit. God works in all ways, and there is no one way to preach the gospel, but it says that those who are wise will instruct many. So be grounded in God's wisdom, so that we could do the most important work effectively. And if you do this diligently, this will change other people's lives, and I believe this is the most valuable work out of all the works, like giving money to the poor. I used to think that my purpose was to preach the gospel to non-believers, and I used to do that a lot of it before. But as I continued to serve the Lord, I started feeling that I was supposed to be working with the believers. Like, some of the revelations I receive are now for the unbelievers. They would not understand what it is about. So I felt that this was what God had for me. So I decided to submit to that path. I used to be with another church a while ago, and it was a big church, and they had many pastors led by a few senior pastors. So I wrote down all these revelations that I was getting, and I showed it to the pastors, and they all looked very unhappy with what I did. And I did that for several times, and they didn't like it at all. But the word kept coming to me, and I didn't know what to do. And since no one at church wanted to hear me, I started writing them on the internet. It was around 1998, about 16 years ago. I didn't think anybody would read it, but some people read it and then started responding to my messages. I had some people who came to the church because they read what I wrote, and I had others who told me that they saw the truth by reading my messages. So what I want to say here is that when you speak the word of God correctly, it saves people. It is not because of my writing skills, but it is because the word of God carries the power. And tofu makers, they have to process soybeans to make tofu. And because of them, we can enjoy tofu instead of chewing on hard rock, chewing on rock hard soybeans. I think the Bible is also needs someone who can process the word and preach to the others so that they can appreciate and digest it. When you speak and teach the word as written by God, people will come alive and people's lives will be changed. So evangelizing strangers is one thing, but you could also write on the internet like I did. So this church may not be doing much when it comes to other kinds of works, but we did not put up any, we did not put up any Christmas play or decorations or organize a choir. But I believe we are preaching the word and we take this work very seriously. And by writing newsletters and by holding seminars. And I was solely doing that for believers. But I have also heard that other non-believers were touched and changed by our messages. A former Jehovah's Witness once told me, so God's work is not limited. So helping us to mail out the newsletters by putting the labels and stamps on is also part of the work to get the word out. So if you spend all your time for fundraising, for example, and never preach the word, that's not God's work. And I should not be the only one who preaches. I am doing this now to train all of you so that you can also go out and preach the word. So train yourself, whether it is by speaking or writing, to speak effectively so that you can touch people rather than confusing people. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. Here it says, they will not endure sound doctrine. I think what it is saying is that world will entertain what is easy and fun more and more. And that's why those comedians who speak nonsense very popular and people entertain movies and non-fictious love stories and action adventures. As our lives become more easier with technologies and people get spoiled, the church will come to the point that they would not be able to endure the bare truth in the Bible, the bare truth of the Bible, I believe. They might have the outward appearance as a Christian by carrying the Bible and even paying the tithe, but without the foundation of the gospel. This is what heaping up for themselves teachers means. They just want to hear something entertaining. So if someone does not agree with what we say, it is okay because we are not speaking to please people, but some churches want to bring ear-pleasing messages to gather people and money. They need that in order to sustain the congregation. As for our church, I do not rely on the offering, so that does not apply to us. But there are other churches that the pastor rely on people's offering from the congregation. So the Catholic Church now says to please people that there is no hell. Same thing with their teaching on purgatory or someone speaking of the second chance. I remember going to this Pentecostal church and there was a man from somewhere from Southeast Asia and he explained to me what purgatory is. And I asked him where it is mentioned in the Bible. And he did not have the answer because it's not in the Bible and I do not know why people believe in that. So do not start believing and speaking a fable just to please people. Know your Bible. Verse 5 and 6. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was arrested and probably already judged guilty by the court. That's why he was saying that his departure is at hand. As we all know, when we do the works for the Lord, some people's lives might be cut short. Not everyone, of course. John was sent to an island, but he lived to be 90-something years old. But just keep in mind that there is a price to pay for serving the Lord. This drink offering is also mentioned in the Old Testament and is an offering to God, which is pouring out our own lives for God. About giving up our lives for the glory of God, let's look at John chapter 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In his kingdom, the hour for the Son to be glorified is the time he was crucified," which in natural is the most shameful and terrible moment with a human perspective. But Jesus calls it the hour to be glorified. And what does it mean by unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain? It means that if you try to preserve your life rather than choosing God, you will never bring anything into this world. But if you die for the sake of the word, and not only you will obtain the eternal life, but also your work will multiply. And I know that we are not living in such an extreme place and time, but even if this is not our immediate circumstance, if we do not prepare our mind for that, you will not be able to make such a decision when the moment suddenly and unexpectedly comes. No one wants to die like Paul or Jesus, but biblically speaking, such time might come in the future. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is as it is. The way we die will also affect whether we will obtain the eternal life or not. You would be upset when you lose money. What about losing your eternal life? So learn from the Bible what God expects us to do when we are faced with such circumstances like Paul. So going back to the 2 Timothy, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is Paul, who was a great apostle and evangelist, speaking of his life as his death approaches. He is a model of when it comes to his faith and how we are to run the race. God has a different path for each one of us, just like marathon. If you don't stay in the course, you will not win the race. We have to run the race through the assigned course, though it may be long, so don't quit in halfway. And Paul also said, I have kept the faith. Keeping the faith means it is like a mother protecting the baby with all the complete winter gear to shield off the wind and the rain and everything else so the baby will not get cold. It's like that. We have to protect our faith in such a manner that then if we do that, the crown of righteousness will be waiting for us. And what we need to know is that when we live as a Christian, our faith will be tested like Job. Satan tries to destroy our faith, and God somehow allows it. But Job kept the faith till the end. Same thing happened to Jesus too. And he even said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And many lose the faith when Satan comes. And Eve is a good example. Eve loved God. But the moment the serpent started speaking to her, her faith was shaken. The serpent said, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So this type of temptation and shaking by Satan is somehow allowed by God. But God wants to choose people who trust Him no matter what, regardless of the temptation, doubt, and shaking, and trust Him even when it seems impossible and unnatural. I went through that too. When a while ago, some people started saying that I was forming a cult, and many people left the church because of that. And I was asked by some people about what those people are saying, and all I said was, "Do what you think you should do." I did not explain myself. I did not give them any excuses. But those who stood with me stayed with me. God is doing the same thing. He is choosing people who choose to trust Him no matter what. That's why we need to keep the faith. And how you finish the race is more important than what you do during the course of the race.